Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to SoftRap, special ops news and information straight from the experts. And now, here are your hosts, Brandon Webb, Jack Murphy, and the rest of the boys at SoftRap.
You good to go? You hear everything, Sean?
Yep.
All right. SoftRep.com, on time, on target. Sean Lake in studio with us, founder of Bubs Naturals. And I think the big thing to say about Sean that'll connect him with this audience, of course, is a very close personal friend of the late, great Glenn Doherty.
Definitely, yeah. Going back to, we were little middle school rugrats running around. So, yeah, grew up in Winchester, Mass with Glenn, and pretty much followed each other around for a good couple of decades there. So, you know, it's good company. When you find a like-minded adventurer in your young years, you know there's a lot of trouble to be had out there.
And Sean and I were talking before the live stream just about how we met, right? And we met, my dad was living up in the other side of Jackson Hole, and Glenn was obviously a big skier, and we just put this last-minute trip together, and he's like, I'm going to rally my boys from back in the day, and that was you and Marty, and
yeah.
I think that was it. And then we just went and hit the mountain with my dad, and like when I started to remember that trip, how we first met, I remembered Glenn, we were all at the lodge after a day of skiing, and we're, you know, doing what young guys do, hydrating with many beers. And Glenn was telling the story about life-saving, and my dad just out of the blue shared that story when I saved his life. When I think I was 17, I jumped in the... He was on a dive trip on the boat I worked on, got himself into a bad situation, panicked, and I had to save his life, like jump in the water and save him. And that was the first time for me, just such a weird thing, like looking up to this guy that my dad's a guy's guy, you know, played almost professional hockey in Canada, grew up in the construction industry. And now it's like, here he is vulnerable. And I've got to like jump in and save his life. And he was extremely embarrassed. We never spoke about it for years and years,
which is funny. Cause like, I mean, I was there for that conversation. I mean, it took you jogging my memory for it, but I don't remember him being like sheepish to tell the story as much as probably being proud to say like, Now look at what you're doing now. Like, oh, yeah. you're in the Navy. You're performing as a SEAL. You're with Glenn, and like, you know, he's got this audience. So it's definitely captive.
Yeah, I remember he was kind of like watering up in the eyes. But that to me, like, Glenn drug that story out of him.
Well, yeah, that. I mean, he had that power. I mean, there's a reason why, time and time again, we kind of come back to Glenn and like, you know, this person that we call the Facebook before Facebook. Like, that's kind of like the joke about it is, you know, you've got this guy that, you know, everyone loves him. And, you know, I mean, I remember, I guess a little bit of backstory. Glenn and I met in Winchester, Massachusetts, like I said, in middle school. We immediately fell into the same group of friends. He was actually my brother's best friend because Glenn's a year older than I am and always will be. And, you know, like we instantly were like, we found ourselves in this kind of counterculture, like, oh, the skateboards? Absolutely. Punk rock music? Absolutely. Anything that was just off the beaten path was, you know, was what we were all about, not your traditional kind of stick and ball high school guys. And as soon as we're out of high school, we all kind of hatch our adventure plans, also known as college. And, you know, like, I went to go fuck off in New Mexico. I should probably ask if I'm
allowed. Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I kind of figured.
This is like the Wild West.
Not only permitted, but encouraged.
Probably encouraged. Well, then it won't take much to pull those filters off. But, you know, like, he takes off to Embry-Riddle in Arizona. I take off to go to school in New Mexico for the only reason that I didn't have to write an essay to get into college, which I thought was pretty cool.
Nice.
Just to show how much I was willing to piss away your parents, you know, academic money that they saved. And, you know, next thing you know, we're like, let's take a year off. Let's go to Utah. And we literally just told our parents and took a year off. And next thing you know, we're 19 years old and ski bumming in Utah. Season's over. We're like, what should we do now? Let's go become fishermen in Alaska. So Glenn and I literally packed up backpacks, went down to REI with the rest of our money, and filled up the backpacks with a sleeping bag and a tent. And we hitchhiked from Salt Lake City to Ketchikan, Alaska. And I will skip some of the uneditable stories along the way, but let's just say it was not an entirely legal trip up there. But, you know, like those are the kind of adventures that we had. And then we go back to Utah a couple of years later. And I remember we're sitting around and we're 24 years old. And we're looking at ourselves. We're like, fuck, this is the East Coast in us. Like we're talking to each other. And we're saying, what do we do when we turn 25? And I'm like, well, I'm going to be a professional snowboarder. I've got my plan. But shit, I can't do that forever. So I should probably go back to school. What about you, Glenn? Like, when are you going to go back to school? And he's like, well, I'm going to give it one more year. I'm going to become a professional skier. And if I haven't made it as a pro skier by the time I turn 25, I'm going to join the Navy and become a SEAL. Now, this is in like 1996, 1995.
Yeah.
And there was one movie that was the only data point any of us had on the Navy SEALs.
We know it's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie
Sheen. Charlie Sheen.
Oh, Jesus.
And literally, I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, well, last summer he had taken off and done some surf vacation down in Mexico or Costa Rica or something. And he met a couple of team guys. And he was down there with Marty. And he comes back and he's like, I met these guys. They're in the Navy. And they said I got what it takes. And like that was the only encouragement that he needed. Give him that nudge of a personal challenge. And he responded to it. And sure enough, you know, being a pro skier in the 90s was like painting houses. Like, you weren't going to make a lot of money doing it. And, you know, it just wasn't all that. Like, unless you were named Scott Schmidt, it didn't matter in that chapter.
Which was interesting because you as a professional snowboarder, it was different. Snowboarding was like really coming on the scene. And it seemed like much easier to kind of get in to be a professional snowboarder than it was a skier.
It wasn't even fair. I mean, there were guys that were skiing circles around the guys that were snowboarding. And I mean, I always jokingly referred to myself as like the B pro. Like I was never good enough to like be on the cover of, you know, Transworld Snowboarding magazine. I'd be getting a page in the back of the magazine. And that was fine back then because that was the medium. Like getting a shot in the magazine was it. And Glenn got two covers of local magazines and was getting some editorial, and it didn't matter because the industry just didn't care. Like that skiing was in a much different place, and snowboarding was the hot shit sport. So we joked. I'm like, you chose wrong, man. You chose the wrong sport.
Yeah.
And so sure enough, he turns 25, and I drove him down to the recruiter in Sandy, Utah. And I mean, I'll never forget this. And he's like, hey, man, don't tell anyone. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, don't tell any of the boys because, you know, we're all a bunch of ski bums. We're all, you know, drinking together and partying. And he's like, I'll tell everyone on my own time in my own way. And he's like, didn't tell his family, didn't tell anyone. It was just his deal. And I drove him down there. And I remember we walked right up to the recruiter. The recruiter opens the door and he's like, you coming in too? And I'm like, hell no.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it was...
And because you were already kind of successful with your snowboarding at this point or moving.
Yeah, I was doing the snowboard thing, and Glenn just had this determination to do it, and he rolled right in, and I waited for him in the parking lot, and he came back out. He had signed it all the way, like had his transition time all lined up, and that was it, man. Like he flicked a switch in his head, and he was getting ready to ramp up. And then, you know, he told all of his buddies and family and everything, and then, you know, next thing you know, he's going through, he's doing the deal. And I stayed in Utah a couple more years. He moved to Coronado, you know, joined Team 3. And we reconnected a couple years later. I got done snowboarding and took a job in the industry. And they wanted me to move to San Diego. So all of a sudden, here we are 2 years later, we reconnect. Was when you and I met, right before, like my last season as a snowboarder was when we did the trip to Tahoe. And, you know, I remember hawking a couple snowboards to one of your team guy buddies.
Yeah, Will, which I got to tell that story. It's fucking crazy. I think Will was at SEAL Team 5. So the funny thing about Will, I think a year later, he's like, I'm getting out of the Navy. And this is pre-9/11. He's like, I'm out of here. You know, we're not seeing any action. So Will gets out. He's like, I'm driving cross country back to the East Coast. And can you put me in touch with your dad? And this is like, just when email was coming on and my dad was like, I'll never bank online and do this. You know, my dad just is not an early adopter. So I forget how the hell, I think he had a regular landline phone. And so Will calls up my dad. My dad calls me. He's like, hey, you know, Will asked to bring a buddy. They're driving through back to the East Coast. And I'm like, hey, he's a good guy. And Will is a solid dude. So my dad calls me up a week.
anytime you preface a story with this guy's a solid dude, yeah. and you know the story's well, going to go sideways.
I know, like my endorsement doesn't mean much my father's days, but so Will goes there, and my dad says, "Yeah, the first night we take him skiing, come back, and you know, drink at the lodge, come back to the house. The boys are drinking. Will's got his civilian buddy there, and my dad." It has a couple tenants in the neighborhood, and one of the he's renting to the like a young lady, right? So the young lady comes over for dinner. Now it's just like a cockfight between Will and his buddy over this girl, and it just gets to the point where, you know, Will like threatens this guy's life, you know, and he's out there like got my dad's like axe that he uses to chop wood, and he's just like my dad's like holy shit, man, this thing is like shit's going down. So my dad had to like break him up and like put him to bed. And then the next day my dad said, you know, it was like super intense, you know, drinking. The girl like ran away scared to death. My dad, the next day he hears his like pounding on the door. And cause it's his buddy that has said, yeah, I'll take Will skiing the next day. I'm going to take him up the mountain with him and his buddy. My dad says he's hearing a knock at the door. No one's answering. So he gets up and he starts walking downstairs and he sees Will's buddy on the kitchen floor with his Levi's around his ankles in a pile of his own shit. He had like tried to take a piss in the middle of the night or a crap and pulled his pants down and like peed on himself and literally shit himself on my dad's kitchen floor. And my dad gets down there to that scene as the neighbor who's taking him skiing opens the door and sees my dad standing there like over this guy that's completely passed out in a pool of his own shit and piss. And he's like, what the fuck happened here? He's like, and the smell was unbearable, he said. So after that trip, my dad was like, look, I don't want any of your SEAL buddies anywhere near my place unless
rightfully so.
Unless you're like there to supervise. So
if your dad saw Marty in action down in Cabo, he would have doubled down on that statement.
Yeah, no kidding. But
although you know, no one shit themselves on that trip, so
yeah. But anyway, yeah, that's a pretty funny story. But I mean, you and I, we were connected then and like loosely you know, like just acquaintances. And then I think what I feel like brought me together and closer with you is, you know, Glenn passing away. I mean, I remember vividly in that parking lot at San Diego Airport in my Land Cruiser having that conversation with you because I had gotten that text from my friend at the CIA because I said, hey, this is a State Department thing. You know, Glenn's cool, right? And he's like, no. Call you in like 30 seconds and had that phone called me and I was devastated. Like cried for like a baby for 15 minutes before I could even muster up to call you because I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that was wild. I guess to kind of get back on the Glenn thing for everyone out there. So, you know, Glenn and I obviously, you know, we were in and out of each other's lives on an absolute, you know, regular basis, but you know, he got a divorce and he moved into my house in like, you know, 07. Couple years later, I get a divorce and I move in with Glenn. So we were roommates, you know, from 2010, the start of 2010 straight through till, you know, the Benghazi stuff happened. And during that time, like, you know, here we are, two 40-year-old guys living together. And Brandon was coming around a lot. And, you know, like we were all kind of like, you know, we have drinks together, go to dinner together. And I kind of fell in with this group of everyone that had served together. And they were all like, we're all in one big melting pot of friendships. And yeah, I mean, we started connecting more and more then because you were doing some entrepreneurial adventuring and like, you know, we went out and had some lunches to talk about like, hey, what is, you know, what does this world look like? And this is, you know, starting the world of online, you know, media was Wild West in 2010. So it was a really exciting time to be starting to transition to do what you're doing now. And, you know, and Glenn was a part of that and he was helping write, you know, 21st Century Sniper and all that stuff back then. And you know, when we were roommates, kind of transitioning back to Glenn, you know, we kind of had this deal. We're like, all right, look, we're two guys in our 40s. We're never going to get married again. Fuck this. Like, the, you know, women basically suck. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave everything that I own to you, and you leave everything you own to me. We're just going to have this handshake deal, and if I die, you inherit all my debt. And if I die, Glenn, you get all my debt. And it was like this joke because, of course, we're fucking immortal, and that would never happen. And then Benghazi happens. And all of a sudden, like, oh, shit. You know, and like my best friend, a brother, this guy I've lived with since, you know, we were in high school on and off for, you know, 30-something years. And all of a sudden, like, it just got real. One of the things that happened that morning, because we had heard the news, like, things had just happened. I wrote Glenn an email because we had just talked the day before. As soon as he landed in Tripoli, we were talking about his ex-girlfriend and how he, you know, was like, hey, you know, can you check in and, you know, make sure she, like, finds a new boyfriend or, like, you know, like, make sure she's okay, basically. And I had dinner with her, like, literally, like, a night or two before, trying to, like, kind of transition their breakup and, you know, make sure everyone was okay because we're all buddies.
Yeah.
And then Brandon, you know, calls me up and he's like, hey, man, like, I just want to brace you that, you know, you might be getting a phone call from a phone number and you won't recognize it, but you're going to need to answer it. And I just had fucking goosebumps. And I mean, like, the whole fucking world stopped. And I think anyone who's been in a car accident knows you vividly remember these details about a moment in time. And that was one for me, was Brandon calling me to give me this warning. And I mean,
didn't want to break it to him yourself or?
Well, I think, like, you, there was still like a shred of room for doubt.
Yeah.
Because it hadn't been confirmed. And I think because of that, like, we were all holding up this optimism. Like, sure. Well, I was on these text threads that morning of, like, this couldn't possibly have happened.
And it was all his friends messaging me on social media, Facebook. And I said, well, no, he's fine. It's a State Department thing.
Yeah.
And
he's in Tripoli.
I knew he was working for the CIA. I'm like, this can't be. But I said, you know what? I had enough people reach out to me. I'm going to text my buddy at the CIA. And I texted him on the shuttle to the airport parking lot, and I got the thing right as I got to my Land Cruiser. And it was like, hey, it's bad news. I'll call you. I'll call you in a second. So I got the phone call, and I literally, like, because for me, it's the first time I really got, it was personal. I cried for 15, 20 minutes, like, just bawling. And then I said, I got to call Sean because everyone's asking, right? And I've got to just let you know because I don't want you getting that news from some fucking stranger.
No, you know, literally Brandon calls me and then the very next call is from an 858 number that's I don't recognize and I never answer those calls. And it's, you know, it says, Sean Lake, yeah, how'd you get my number? I'm going to need you to come home right now. And I was, you know, I was down at the gym and I'm like, what? Like, I need you to come home right now. And sure enough, it's like the stereotypical movie experience. There's the two black SUVs waiting in front of Rodney. Rodney's what we call our house. And they're waiting for me outside. And we walk back into the house. And, you know, these guys in suits, ties, and this lady from the CIA. And they're just like, they broke it all down for me. And I remember just absolutely in shock. Now, my girlfriend, who became my wife, Heather, she, you know, she's in media. She's a TV reporter. And so her and Brandon instantly team up and just run blockades. So the first thing I'm saying is, well, I'm not talking to anyone. And sure enough, within hours, the news trucks are all lined up and down the street. And it was just this, it was fucking chaos for me. But also, I had to be the person to put the word out. Like, I'm the executor of his estate. I'm the one who's kind of supposed to step in at a moment like that. And Brandon, you know, I remember, like, there were these key couple of days there going into, like, this crazy amount of media that I had zero experience with. I mean, snowboard movies was the extent of my media experience, you know. And Brandon managed a lot of that to keep it off of us and you know, and talking with Kate and, you know, Glenn's sister and the rest of the family and how to navigate that landscape was, I don't know that it would have gone as well or I would reflect back on it and be happy with the results. I mean, there's no happiness with those results, but it was just managed well, and I definitely owe that to you because you stepped right in there. You'd had some experience already talking and dealing with media, and, you know, it was handled as best as it could have been handled. And then, you know, you go a couple of months afterwards, you get through the election, you get through the political stink, you don't have answers. We're all left scratching our heads. And this is kind of a segue into starting Glenn's foundation. And, you know, Katie just had this like this burn inside of her to do something to honor Glenn's memory. Now, anyone out there who's listening to this who didn't know Glenn, what you need to know about him for this to matter at all is everyone fucking loved Glenn. He would walk into a room and he's the guy who will just light it up. And he will tell you a bunch of bullshit stories that will have you laughing your ass off. They will be incredibly embellished, but you will leave happy. And it sucks that he's not here to say that because I could call it out to his face. But I mean, like, that was his power. And he was the fucking glue. So when I call him the Facebook before Facebook, and I'm not the only one who, you know, that's a well-known moniker for him. It's because he would literally write letters. And who writes letters, like, you know, in 2012? Mm-hmm. And he would call people. And, like, when he was home from deployments, you know, because he was contracting for the CIA straight from when he got out of the Navy, basically, right through, you know, obviously Benghazi. And he would write letters, and he would write emails, and he would call you. It was like a full-time job to keep everyone connected. And it was amazing because that's the one legacy that his friends have all had is that we all now call each other. We all stay connected. And, yeah, he's that glue, but now we've forged our own relationships that weren't exclusive through Glenn. But, I mean, he brought high school buddies from the Boston area together, Navy SEAL community together, ski bums out of Utah, San Diego CrossFit junkies. I mean, you name it, like such eclectic groups all pulled together. And that was part of his power. So I'm inclined to say anyone listening to this, if you'd ever met Glenn, you would have said he was your best friend.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. And then, you know, if you want to plug the foundation.
Well, yeah. So we're looking at this and we're like, well, we have to do something to honor Glenn's memory. And what was the one struggle that Glenn had and a lot of guys getting out of the teams or special forces have? It's a transition to civilian life. And this isn't something new, but it's not talked about a lot. And Glenn fucking struggled with how to get out of the Navy as, you know, basically you're a military rock star. And how do you go from being on the field to off the field? Well, contracting is a great Band-Aid. You're going to go from making $60,000 a year on a good year to $150,000 a year to work half a year. Man, that signed me up. And you still get that adrenaline. You get that fix. You get that action. And a lot of guys turn to contracting, which, you know, I get it. The money's there. But the longevity of that as a career move fades, and it fades quick. I mean, Glenn was 42 years old. And we were working out, CrossFitting, like beating the tar out of each other just to like keep up with these 20-year-old young bucks at the gym. And I mean, we hurt. And, you know, that was just part of it. But we were just like, fuck it, let's go again. And, you know, this is kind of a segue to the bub stuff we'll talk about later. But like, we would literally be like, whey protein, here's a little pre-workout, here's some BCAAs, here's some hydration, here's some Metamucil because you always need your fiber. And we would, you know, we would literally like run through all this stuff and trying to keep up, but he knew there was an end date. He knew he couldn't contract forever, and he kept saying, this is my last deal, this is my last one. And he'd finally gone through like four career opportunities and landed on, I'm going back to school in Utah, I'm going to go into a PA program, a physician's assistant program.
I'm just curious, Brandon, was there ever, because I got to meet Glenn really shortly at SiriusXM, you know.
EMM, first time.
I remember the New York trip. Yeah.
But I'm just wondering out of curiosity, was there ever a discussion with him? Because a lot of your friends, like Eric Davis, went on to work with you, write for the site. Was there ever like a discussion of, hey, Glenn, you want to write for Sofra?
Yeah, no, Glenn, actually, I drug him into many failed endeavors. I mean, so he was involved in like
at this point.
Yeah, or? the first business that I did, it freaking failed miserably. Glenn was there and he would come back and work with me. And we had the same conversations that you had with him. Like, what is he going to do now? Like, and I was like, I remember before he left saying, look, this website I'm launched, like, it's got fire, man. Like, it is taking off and I want you to be a part of it. And I just, I mean, Glenn has influenced me in so many different ways to like the planes and everything, but I just thought he would be around to be flying with me and doing all this crazy stuff now. But he was just like looking at me like, oh man, I don't know if I'm ready to sign up for one of Brandon's crazy fucking adventures again after the last one.
Understandable.
But yeah. I mean, that was it. But it was something, you know, like Sean was talking about the transition. A lot of guys struggle with that. I mean, I struggled not as bad as
We've seen guys at the site talk about it. I mean, it's a general theme.
It's what do you want to do? I mean, and you're right. I mean, Glenn followed Brandon into a couple of things that didn't work well. And soft rep was just in its infancy stage. And I mean, I think you got him to write like one editorial piece.
And then I made him a writer. I just put him up on the website.
Yep. Yeah. And he was like, God damn it. Like, I'm not a writer. And, you know, but he didn't know. And that was part of that struggle. But then he was like, when he finally made up his mind, he's like, this is what I can do. I like the hours. I like that I can keep my recreation intact. You know, that's what it was all about. It was work hard, play hard.
Sohei was a neurosurgeon on that surf trip we all took together. And he's like, dude, I will hire you in a heartbeat.
In a fucking heartbeat.
Pay you whatever it was. It was a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, this is a six-figure job. Yeah. And boy, it's in the medical field. And, you know, Glenn was 18 Delta. And, like, he had that training. And, like,
Glenn inspired that med kit we did for the Crate Club because always complain and he built me one.
Yeah, that was his whole idea. He's like, fuck man, like one of his entrepreneurial ideas that he never saw realized was building a med kit that the everyday person could use that was fully functional and removes all the crap. And I remember he would talk about all the useless shit in most over-the-counter sold med kits that just pads the pricing. And he's like, you can do this, you can do it right, and there was no such thing as like a SEAL endorsed product back then. Like the perfect push-up didn't exist yet, right? So if he had done that today, I think the market would obviously be completely different and curated by a guy who's literally been in a medic for, you know, fucking 17, 18 years. So who better to validate that product line? So when you did it, it was like a, you know, like an homage to, you know.
Yeah. And Glenn's, which is why it made sense to have Chris Ferranto be a part of it, because he was there with Glenn.
Yeah, Chris was there and also a lot of medical experience. But that has been our most popular thing we've done in that premium crate.
I could see that. Well, so you know, Benghazi goes down, the shit show goes down, and, you know, the dust isn't even beginning to settle, but Kate's got this fire, and we sit in her basement and we talk about launching a foundation, and we immediately, like, it's like we're completing each other's sentences. This has got to be about helping guys transition out of the military to civilian life, education, scholarships, self-improvement. Glenn Doherty 101, be better, improve yourself.
Yep.
And then we're like, well, what was the second thing that Glenn stood for after, you know, work hard, play hard? So we carved out a piece of the mission for recreation. We're like, hey, we don't know what this looks like, but if we can help someone who's in need in this community, let's help them. And if that means like taking the family to Disneyland, fuck it, let's be there to be able to help them for that. So we launched this mission, and the first year there was this outpouring of support, and, you know, like 100,000 people donated a dollar each, or, you know, whatever, that we made a couple $100,000, and we're like, oh, fuck, what do we do with this? And we're like, we don't know anything about running a foundation. So then it's like, well, we should get an endowment. And one of our buddies, Tom Donahue on the foundation, you know, he works in finance. And we're like, well, if we do an endowment, we're protecting the investment. We're protecting the money. And it also regulates from how much we can do with it. Everyone's like, that's a great idea because we don't know what we're doing yet.
Sure.
But we want to give these scholarships out. Oh, it turns out we can't actually give out scholarships. We have to use a third-party vetting system to give out a scholarship. No problem. So we form a partnership with this group called Scholars First, and, you know, and then we're taking in applications for Navy SEALs, the family of Navy SEALs, and any branch of special operations soldiers, and we vet them through this third party system, and they are the ones who actually approve them, and then we effectively can hand out checks to help them go back to school. And it's an instant feel good thing, but it's, you know, it's everyone's part-time job, or you know, we do it nights and weekends, but every year we were able to give a little bit more. Well, 2017 was the first year that we had more applicants than we had money, and we're like, oh shit, like we've now helped, you know, I think we were up to like 28 scholarships, and we're like fuck, we're starting to feel like we're making a very small, but, you know, an impact. Like people are, they notice that they're able to go back to school, we're helping people. But we ran out of money. We have the endowment, so we're protected, but we can only give out X amount of scholarships. How do we solve for that? We already run marathons. We run the Boston Marathon, New York Marathon. We're running a 5K race, you know, in Glenn's hometown, in our hometown, Winchester. But, you know, when we do a bake sale, like, you know, we're kind of hit the wall. And I remember, like, I it was in April of last year. I was chasing a pow storm. And I went on and I did a podcast with this guy, Evan and JT, the founders of Black Rifle Coffee. And we talked about the same subject, like the nonprofit world. And it was great because, you know, Evan had served with Glenn. He knew him. You know, they did the contracting stuff together, and we laughed and told a couple of jokes about, you know, time with Glenn. And it was kind of left as this open-ended thing. Like, how do you institutionalize giving? And I had that takeaway, and I come home from that trip, and this is the segue into Bubs. My wife buys me a tub of collagen peptides. Now, you guys don't know my wife, but, well, Brandon, you know my wife. She's 14 years younger than me. And, yeah, you know,
lucky man. What's the math we talked about?
Half your age plus seven, gentlemen. Yeah, any of you guys on the rebound out there and you want to know what to do? This is math, by the way, that Brandon does not necessarily adhere to.
Let's not talk about that.
I remember when you said it, I'm dating a millennial on the show, and people were like, how old?
Half your age plus seven. My wife is technically a millennial, and that offers up some great dinner time conversation between a Gen X and a millennial.
Maybe I'm plus two. Am I plus two?
We're gonna take a high road on this one. Right. I'm gonna cut you some slack there. Right, so anyways, my wife buys me a tub of collagen protein and collagen peptides. And I come home and she's like, I'm like, what's this? She's like, it's collagen. I want you to start taking it. I'm like, collagen? That's that shit that porn stars use to shoot into their lips. And she looks at me and she's like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but all the health nutrition bloggers, like all the chick stuff, they're all saying it helps you with your hair, your skin, and your nails. And I'm like, I don't care about any of that. She's like, muscle recovery and joint recovery. I'm like, ooh, now I'm paying attention. She's like, hey, look it. You're not getting any younger, and I need to preserve you. And that was like the only takeaway I had was, you're not getting any younger. And I'm like, all right, I got that. So I start taking it, and I just obey her. Like, it was the same thing with Glenn. When he said take protein, I took protein. When he said here's the go-go juice, I would just follow the rules. I wasn't asking any questions. I've never cared to, you know, peel back the onion of fitness and look into what I was specifically supposed to do. I just did it.
Yeah. It's like my friend Kamal, he's like, he's friends with Tim Ferriss. He's like, I just go and take a photo of Tim's cupboard and just buy all the same stuff and take it.
That's like, basically what this
time to do the research.
Yeah. So Heather buys me a tub of collagen. I take it for about a month, and literally a month into it, I'm like, holy shit, my nails are growing like crazy. Now, this is a weird observation because, like, I clip my fingernails like every couple of weeks. And I was clipping them every fucking week. And now anyone who clips your fingernails knows, like, it's just one of those irritating chores. You do it because you have to. It's not like, you know, like something you're stoked on. But I was like, this is the first time I've ever taken a supplement where I can physically see the results. Well, the next month, we go to a wedding and I need to get a haircut. And I get a haircut. We come home. And I'm like, man, I just got a haircut. And I look back in it because I was curious. I'm like, I just got a haircut 6 weeks ago and I just needed another one. That's never happened. So I'm like, data point number two, hair, nails. What the fuck? Like, this stuff really works. The third month was wild because that was when the recovery kicked in. That's when I was like, oh my God. Like, I went to Boston with Heather and my sister. My sister's a gazelle and Heather's a gazelle. They run all the time. We ran 5 to 7 miles, 7 days straight, like just for a week straight. Every day we get out in the morning and run. And I was ready to be crippled by it. Like, I'm okay in the gym stuff, but if I'm going to log those kind of miles, I'm going to suffer. Yeah. And I bounced up every morning out of bed. I'm like, let's go every day. And by the end of it, I'm like, all right, I'm completely sold on this. So around this time, my buddy comes over, and we've been pitching a couple work projects. This guy, TJ Ferrara, and he's like your e-commerce guy. He's the ninja in the back room on e-commerce. And we're buddies. We live together and, you know, like, work out together, and we were pitching a couple work projects, and he sees the tub of collagen on the counter, and he's like, holy shit, you take this stuff? And I'm like, dude, it works. And he's like, I know it works. I'm like, you take it too? He's like, no, I don't really take it, because he's a millennial, and so, you know, whatever. And he's like, I've been watching this on some e-commerce platforms. This is a growth industry. It's being written about in a lot of health magazines and blogs, and he's like, this is an emerging company. The particular brand that was on the counter. And he's like, you know, I've always wanted to start a company. I'm like, yeah, let's talk about this. So we just napkin mapped out, just shooting the shit over coffee. What would it look like to start a supplement brand? And almost immediately we're talking and we look at each other and we say, we got to do something for charity. And I'm like, well, I know what charity. Obviously, it's going to be Glenn's Foundation. And he's like, yeah, Glenn's Foundation. I'm like, well, what do the best companies in charity do? And we look up and we're like, Patagonia. Looks like about 1% of net sales go to charity. I'm like, that's pretty good. Tom's Shoes, they have their one-for-one shoe program. And I'm like, Tom's Shoes? I'm like, Well, I know that a pair of shoes that's going to Africa or going to wherever the hell they're going to don't cost very much money. So it's a, we've mapped it out to be about the one, same 1% of yeah. net going there. And I'm like, what if we just completely flip this model on its head? What if we did 10% of every sale of every product directly to charity?
That's awesome, man. It's great when companies can do that, too. I mean, you were telling me with SoftRip we have some stuff going on that, that you've been up to, right?
Well, we donated to, I was talking to Sean this morning about the Team Rubicon for the hurricane relief. You know, but it's in our core values to give back. And I told Ian.
But like, I mean, how much money did you give to those guys?
I mean, it was, I think, $5,000 we gave.
But I mean, that's $5,000 that like has a massive impact for that community, and it's unsolicited, and all of a sudden someone just gets a check for $5,000. I mean,
it means a lot to them, and it does a lot.
Last year I think we gave $30,000 cash plus media, you know, and we gave Rubicon media too. We did a lot of editorial stuff, but I mean, when we started to have a lot of growth, I wrote it into our core values, like we give back. And this year I told Ian, everyone in the company gets to pick a charity and we're going to donate on to that charity on that person's behalf. So, I mean, I'm all about running a profitable enterprise with the ridiculous margin as I can grab, but at the same time,
no, you can't hate you for that.
Yeah. I mean, and I see this, a lot of the millennial entrepreneurs doing this social enterprises, which is great, but it's like, we have a social enterprise too. Like, it's important to give back to the same community that gave me everything that I have today. So
yeah,
and tracking the companies, like you said, there are a few that do really good stuff, but and then there are a lot of them, especially in the military space, that kind of, you know, yeah, that's really not, it's more of a marketing gimmick. It's not giving back in a meaningful way. And that's what, you know, when you and I were talking about Bubs in San Diego, I mean, that's a solid commitment, you know?
Well, it's funny. We backfilled the company to the cause, and it was like, hey, you take collagen, it works. Okay. So there's proof here. Well, it's funny how it all came together literally like lightning striking, because I just done that podcast. You know, I'd had the experience with collagen. It was, everything was kind of swirling around. And then, you know, I'm like, well, we got to give the money to Glenn's foundation. And then it was, well, how much? 10% of every sale. Can you even do that? Like, we didn't even think you could get a company off the ground with that kind of math. And we're like, we start doing the crunching the numbers. But while we're doing that, I'm like, well, you know, Bub was Glenn's call sign in the Navy. So the company just named itself. Like, this all just happened. Boom, boom, boom. Like, 10% to charity. Glenn's foundation. We got to call it Bubs. And just like that, we're off and running. And we're like, we don't even know if we can do this, yeah, but we're going to fucking do it. And, you know,
the packaging is awesome, dude. I mean, you can just read it. I mean, the good old USA.
Yeah.
It looks badass.
Yeah, it's good. Just the branding is spot on, dude.
Appreciate and also that. Just it's great to know that there's someone using proven science. I mean, there's like a million protein powders out there. No one knows what the fuck they're buying. If you've ever seen any documentaries on the whole industry, it's like completely unregulated. So there's people putting all these proprietary blends of nonsense in there, and it has like a fraction of whatever you really need in the product.
It's a wild west out there. For anyone out there who's listening to this, like, okay, I get the Glenn thing, and I don't know what the fuck collagen is. All it is hydrolyzed, boiled down cowhide joints. Cowhide. Like, think about, it's connective tissue, and everything that it helps with is connective tissue. Like, it helps with your knees, it helps with your muscles, it helps with your skin, it helps with your hair. You know, like, all of that stuff for me, from like a sports recovery standpoint, makes perfect sense. And one ingredient. There's no flavors. There's no like mystery shit I can't pronounce. It's just boiled cow.
So it is unflavored, which I actually like, because I have, you know.
Where's your cup?
I just have a cup of water right here. Oh, you're going to throw some in?
Yeah, you just became a test monkey. Absolutely. On this one.
There we go, buddy.
I was going to say, the cool thing is that if it is unflavored, is how you can mix it with stuff, because I'll sometimes mix like bananas, oatmeal, blend that all together.
Sprinkle it on your Cheerios if you wanted to.
Boom, just like that.
We're not even mixing this. I'm just trying to like this.
No, it'll take care of itself.
Oh, really?
But just like that.
I like how we're doing a whole demonstration here.
Ian's going to come back tomorrow, like 10 pounds jacked up.
Oh, I wish. Yeah. I should show that, yeah, we're actually doing this. I
usually know, it's whiskey, but go ahead, buddy.
Well, you know, it's funny. People on the Facebook Live are like, Brandon always ends every show with a shot. Is he going to do that? Because I saw people asking about it.
I'll take a shot with Sean. We'll do a shot.
I'll drink this, though, for sure.
So I think I pretty much fucked away our workout today. So
I'd say it's pretty much going to transition to whiskey at this point.
it's great, man.
So this is, I mean, it's unflavored. So you get like this little hint of something being there. But I put it in my coffee every morning because it can stand the heat. It's cowhide. It's not like a chemical concoction.
Because usually these protein powders, like, it tastes very fake. It just tastes very artificial.
When you see something say strawberry vanilla, I promise you it's not organic strawberries and vanilla.
Course. Yeah.
But you know, the bottom line is we figured out a way to do it. We sourced the best possible collagen in the country. It all had to match up to Glenn's ideals, like this standard that we had. And, you know, I wanted to make sure the branding was on point. And this all represents different parts of his life. So, I mean, in a nutshell, this is a tribute as much as anything. And
this is the first protein I can just, like, put in water, and it's good to go.
Yeah, that's...
I
don't think you're going to be taking this one home. I think this is going to be in the office for a while, so...
Yeah.
It's funny. You work out in the city. I work out, like, at home on Long Island. So, he's, you know... I've worked out with Brandon, and he's pretty intense, so...
Yeah, I used to take the sales guys to work out.
Always fun.
And then they're like, we don't want to have a meeting with you because you're going to take us to the gym first.
Well, I've worked out with you just a couple of times because, you know, it's just we're in different areas. So I just have to ask, am I able to keep up better than the sales guys?
Yeah. That's cool. You
did the deck of cards workout, right?
Yeah, I did have to tap out at a certain point. I'm not going to lie.
He tapped out, but he sucked it up. I'll give you credit. The
deck of cards, the problem is this, I'll say. do you guys want to just take your shot?
Here's to Bub.
Absolutely. Here's to Bub. Yeah. Cheers.
Awesome, man. The deck of cards.
I was probably more of a sipper, so I'm going to need to get a refill.
Go for it, man.
I just knocked it all back. I didn't realize what we were putting down there until I looked over and saw the Japanese harmony there.
Yeah.
Good stuff, right?
Hibiki. People were asking about what it is. Yeah, it's Japanese hibiki. So the deck of cards thing, though?
Yeah.
I think I'm used to doing, like, perfect form push-ups, and you'll bang out, like, 10, 20. When you're doing the deck of cards, you really cannot do perfect form push-ups because you're going to be done pretty quickly in there.
You just got to do them faster.
We're doing man push-ups, though, Ian. It was a man.
Chest to deck, arms a full lockout, no hinging at the hips, hold the standard.
But doing an entire deck of cards Ian's tough, man.
He's like, I remember he's like, how far are we going? I'm like, the whole fucking deck, man.
I mean, you run the numbers, and I think it's something, what do you do, like 87 reps per movement?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
100 reps per movement, something like that. I'm no mathematician, as you can tell.
And I think it's over 500 push-ups, depending on what you make the ace or the jokers, but it's a ball buster.
You just do them all push-ups?
Yeah, we're doing them all push-ups, so...
Jesus fucking Christ.
Bam, bam, bam. And then you just get crushed by, like, 3 face cards in a row.
You know you can do other movements.
Yeah, but we just did straight bang-it-out push-ups, and he was just like...
Yeah, I was pretty sore for days.
Yeah, I did it with my buddy Mike, who's Colmeco. He has a show called Real Food with Colmeco.
Yeah, cool guy.
Cool dude. Used to be a pro boxer, turned chef.
Nice.
And now it's a food show, but... Hey, I know we're running short, Ian, so we want to get to a couple of
years. Yeah, well, no, I was just going to say it. It was a funny thing, too, like, fun fact for the audience. That's where I decided, where you pitched to me coming on Sopra full-time. I was like, do a deck of cards, and hey, do you want to work with us full-time? That was cool.
That was your vetting process, dude.
Yeah.
You didn't completely puss out.
Well done.
So, I mean, yeah, I know that you guys got to run. I guess, do you want to get to emails? I was like, should we get to this another time?
Yeah, we got time. Let's get a couple.
And I should throw out there, I was going to mention it at the top of the show, but, like, these stories are too captivating to interrupt, honestly, is for those who don't know, we're back to doing the show free on Apple Podcasts, 2 shows a week. The response has been overwhelming. The only question I've been getting is they're like, what about the back episodes? Where are they going to be? They're not going to go on SoundCloud, but they'll be on softrep.com. They're not there yet. I'm still like coordinating.
All the archives free. We did that really good show with Marcus Luttrell.
But people are asking, why? Where is it now? I'm still coordinating with Chris, our web guy, so they'll be there. But yeah, Marcus Luttrell,
Drago,
Mike Ritland, which people are asking all about in all these emails. Buzz Aldrin. There's a ton of them. This is the, you know, if we're going to get to one email, this is really the one to get to. And then we'll take a couple of things in here from Brian Crane. Thanks again for another kick-ass podcast. I love how you guys covered music so in-depth, which we did with the Odyssean. Music, love, and religion are the three most powerful forces on Earth. They have the power to move entire generations of people. You can be in a bad mood and listen to the right song and be in a good mood. You can be in a good mood and listen to the wrong song and bad mood.
To interrupt you, I would add one thing, and it starts with a
P.
P. And I watched you are you a Game of Thrones fan?
I'm not. Actually, I didn't have. I lost my time with to get into it. I owe like a week straight of getting caught up on all that.
So. It's amazing, man. So, but this guy is standing on this massive battle about to be overrun, and they're having this conversation about women. And it was like, I did this for women, I did that for women. It was basically money, power, everything was all revolved around men in the pursuit of women, which we could say use another name for, but
yeah,
that's it. I mean, that's a powerful force of nature.
Well, you keep emphasizing the puh in there, the puh.
Yeah. Yeah, people can fill in the blank. And I know my female fans are going to give me a ration of shit for this, but hey,
You ever see that we've had comments on the Power of Thoughts YouTube where people, when you end up talking about women, people calling it the power of thought? I've seen that in the comments. And it's just like people breaking balls. So anyway, you could be in a good mood and listen to the wrong song, be in a bad mood. Very true. Powerful stuff. You guys rock. And then this is the big part. This podcast changed my life. I was fresh out of the military and had no idea what I was going to do in life afterwards and maintain my sense of purpose. I heard an interview with Mike Ritland, and I've been training dogs and following this company ever since. Kudos again, and keep the pace up. It's been amazing to watch this change and morph into what it is now. That's from Brian. I thought that was super powerful.
Yeah,
I'm going to see if we have any questions here, because I've been glancing, and people are like, hey, are you guys going to interact with us? How does Sofrep not have a whiskey sponsor at this point? What else?
Well, Bub's Whiskey... coming soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Give us to like 2019 to figure out how to do that. It'll probably taste like gasoline, but you know, count us in.
Janet Brooks says, Brandon, I think you should write about Glenn and only Glenn. Love to read more about him. Among heroes I love, but wanted more Glenn. Dave Pierce, Glenn sounds like a national treasure and beyond a great friend. Thanks for sharing. Makes me even more bitter about the Benghazi fiasco. And then people are just, you know, is that Brandon Webb? They're shocked that you're making a sighting, because they're like, I haven't seen you in a month or something.
It is me. It's not a virtual. Those of you who have seen the movie Blade Runner, which I don't know if you're a fan of the original.
Massive.
Dude, the follow-up crushed it. Like, so good, man. Like, I would watch, it was 3 hours long, I think. I would have watched it over again on the spot right there. Epic show. But they had this, you know, speaking of the power of... woman. They had this basically
Sean Young was in it.
He had this girlfriend on a thumbstick, right? Like, boom, popped up, and it's just like, I'm like, man, I want one of those.
That's like, I just want to know if it could be Sean Young from there, just transported in.
But the Blade, if those of you who haven't seen Blade Runner, the 2049, it is epic.
Like, yeah, I heard
Hans Zimmer score, heavy, like just chest pounding score, and just the dude, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's on the short list. I tried having Heather watch the original Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking Rutger Hauer's going to just fuck this whole world up. And I'm like, I can't wait. And we're 5 minutes into the movie and she's pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know where this goes.
Yeah. She's over it.
We turned the movie off and went to bed.
Yeah.
To be continued.
Dude, you have to see the follow-up, man. It is probably one of the best movies I've seen this year. Hands down.
I like it.
I also see Mike Norwood. I ran out of whiskey last night. What's a good brand of Japanese whiskey to get? I know you love
Hibiki. I think Hibiki is one of the best out there. The Harmony, which is not an aged whiskey, but it's good. It's just a great whiskey right out of the bottle. But
our friend Phil Compion is asking, where is Drago?
Drago's coming back. We got to drag him out of the... drag him out of the closet, basically.
Yeah,
he's coming. I've had a couple conversations with Drago. He's coming back, and I'll see Phil in London, November 11th, when we're bringing over a U.S. boxing team to kick some British ass.
Oh, yeah. I will actually not be there. I'll be at Wilkow's thing at M&O Looney's. I saw the T-shirt he put out for that, which looks kick ass. So that'll be on Veterans Day for those of you in New York. But
Remembrance Rumble, too, for the fans. We're streaming that live on SoftRep. Remembrance Rumble 2, Saturday, November 11th, live from York Hall, East London. Well, and in all fairness, like those guys, the hosts over there are amazing. Like Phil and the boys just put on an amazing event, and I couldn't believe it, man. There was a queue a kilometer long around the block to get into this place. Sold out event, people begging for tickets, chanting songs and the thing. I was like blown away, man. It was home. It felt a little like we were definitely not on home turf, but. Just remember, we're coming over, the Americans, the original Brexit, and we're gonna come over there and put on a good fight.
Phil says, "Yeah, baby, RR2." We're getting a lot of I saw on YouTube the questions of like, how do I become an Navy SEAL? We'll avoid those. Yeah. I'll get to this one last one because this was a good question.
Yeah, you actually go to the recruiter and sign on the dotted line.
Yeah,
I'll drive you down there.
Yeah,
this is a good question for you. Would Bubs be good to take even if you aren't working out and are recovering from back surgery from about 2 years ago? Good question.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's actually the beauty of it. I was talking with a nutritionist, what was it, 2 days ago? And I was saying, hey, I'm looking to grab some recipes and how you integrate this with your client base. And she said, well, right now I'm using it every day in my daughter's cereal. She's a teenager and she broke her wrist. And I'm using it to help mend the bones. And I'm like, I hadn't really thought of that. I've always thought of it as more of a maintenance, like for exercise and wellness. And she says, no, the healing properties are really how I apply it. She's like, with my clients, it's a combination of the gut health and the cure for inflammation, but the muscle and joint health, and in this case, bone health. She's like, that's what collagen is. It's a connection of all of those tissues. So 100% to you know, whoever posted that question, you know, 2 scoops a day. I start with 1 scoop a day and kind of ramped up, and you know, it's the first time I can look at anyone and be like, this fucking works. So yeah, give it a whirl and do your research. I mean, read about collagen online, Google collagen peptides, read some of the testimonials and then you can dive into some of the medical studies behind it and then, you know, pick a brand that's right for you. I mean, obviously we're here talking about Bubs because we're the only brand in any supplement space that's giving, you know, this volume of product out with a 10% give back to charity, and that's obviously where we're hanging our hats.
Lifetime give back. I mean, that's not some bullshit once a year promo. Like, it is written into the fabric of the company. So, and I think that's pretty special. So go buy Bubs for sure. I'm gonna go. Ian's got this tub, but I gotta get mine.
I guess I gotta send another one out. Yeah, I can attest to the fact that it really doesn't taste like anything, which is good.
Well, that's,
you know what I mean? You don't want something that has this artificial taste. It's great. I chug that thing right down.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's part of the daily routine. It's just put a scoop in my coffee.
Yeah.
Go put a scoop in my, you know, in my smoothie or a glass of juice, and I don't really taste it. I can
put it
in the
whiskey.
You get a little hint of it
in my water.
And the hint tastes good, so I like it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one ingredient, so it's like, when you go out looking for stuff and you're like, wait a second, this is non-GMO, it's gluten-free, it's halal, you know, certified, it's got every one of the checks that you want, pasture-raised, grass-fed, and you go like, oh, well, all right, this has been pre-sourced and curated to be the absolute best in quality. You saw how soluble it is, dissolves right in water, and then the health benefits just speak for themselves. I mean, the only thing is, it took me a couple weeks before I saw the results, but I've never seen results, period.
Yeah, so, that's like anything that's going to work is going to take a while.
It's just like doing your first couple push-ups. You got to do a couple of them before you start seeing the results. And, you know, once you get into the routine, it just becomes part of the routine. It's like you wake up in the morning, you take a shit. Just so happens after a while of this, you're going to take really good shits.
He calls it the ghost wipe.
Yeah. So
another added benefit.
I know that you guys have to run. So the last thing I was going to say, I was thinking about this as we record, and we haven't done a throat punch of the week recently, but I kind of want to give a double throat punch because we already did it, but to Drew Murray, the guy who completely plagiarized Jack Murphy's piece
from The Chive. Yeah, and by the way, we sent a letter to the one of the executives at the Chive, and then this guy wrote this bullshit response to Jack.
Yeah, that it wasn't plagiarism.
Yeah, no, we're doing a whole series on plagiarism because Jack and the guys do such good work, and we're tracked by all the journalists. Like, we know the usual suspects. We broke that Niger story about the ambush, and these guys are all kind of like grabbing what they do and writing around it as if it's their own.
Yeah, and can we take concept. Your article?
What's that?
The people were just like, could we take your article?
Yeah.
Contacting Derek.
Yeah, yeah. They wanted the one of the big...
I could say it. I don't know if I'm allowed to.
Yeah, say it.
Yeah, the Daily Beast.
Yeah, the Daily Beast just wanted to take it and just read.
Well, give credit, though? Give credit where credit's due?
Yeah, well, that's the problem. They don't want to give credit. They want to repurpose it as their own thing.
I think they may have wanted to give credit, but at the end of the day, it's like it's driving people away from our site. So
yeah, no,
why?
The value well, we're breaking.
That's a tough one, right? Because now you're in the opportunity to share your information and possibly gain a broader audience because the Daily Beast speaks to a totally different demographic. Maybe those people are going to learn about SoftRap and be like, well, I can skip the Daily Beast and come over to you guys.
This guy plagiarized Jack and
well,
put it on the Chive.
Jack
called him
fair.
Out. He changed his name on the article and moved stuff around. Like
but to
Jack,
be fair, we're talking about the Chive on this.
Yeah, this is
so,
yeah, switching back to this. Yeah, not the Beast, the Chive. And this guy just wrote this bullshit answer. And Jack and I, you know what? Look, I hate litigation. Yeah, I could go after because the Chive took our content, ran a sponsored pose like to drive revenue
for some
with
NBC
I think
show.
For NBC show using our content. I'm like, you know what, let's just write a piece on plagiarism and call this guy out like for what it did and put his name in the bright lights. Like, you want to do that? Well, here you go.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
he drew a sword by choosing to do that, so
yeah,
fuck
throw
it.
A punch of the week
to Drew Murray.
Our guy Drew, and I hope I see you in the city, Drew.
Yeah, he lives here.
Yeah, I know.
So wrapping things up.
Nice.
As a reminder for all of those who are listening, for a limited time, you can receive a 50% off membership to SoftRep TV, our channel that offers the most exclusive shows, documentaries, and interviews covering the most exciting military content today. We just had a meeting here, two-day meeting, and there's awesome stuff on the horizon.
Yeah, I will cheat it out. Like, we're working on... Training Cell is an amazing series on SoftRep TV, but we're working on this like cross between the show Survivor and the Hunger Games. We're like hunting people down, like there's like just full on, full contact, like Hunger Games meets Survivor. Like we want to produce that show next year. So lots of cool stuff coming.
Absolutely, yeah. So Training Cell is the current show that you guys have been checking out. If you're members, follows former Special Operations Forces as they participate in the most advanced training in the country, everything from shooting schools, defensive driving, jungle and winter warfare, climbing, and much more. Again, you can watch this content by subscribing to SoftRep TV. That's at softreptv.us and take advantage of a limited time offer of 50% off your membership. So for current time, it's limited time. It's only $4.99 a month. And then, of course, if you haven't gotten a chance to check out the SoftRep Crate Club, you're definitely going to want to do that ASAP. It's a subscription to get a box of badass tactical and survival gear delivered to your door every month. Here's the kicker. All of the gear is handpicked and tested by former special ops guys, so you know you're getting quality gear that's going to work when you need it to. Crates we've sent in the past have included gear like custom knives, multi-tools, fire starters, EDC med kits, as we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, and I have that bulletproof insert. I carry that.
Bulletproof insert. I'm not wearing it today, actually, but the survival belt is awesome. I love that thing. You don't just get great gear with your subscription.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I carry it.
Yeah.
For those of you watching the live stream. Yeah, this thing. I feel how light that is.
It's not even half a laptop.
Yeah. Yep, not at all. So you're supporting a veteran-owned and run company, of course, plus our Crate Club subscribers are invited to our annual club party. We had that this year in January in Vegas. We're going to do it again in January. To subscribe and start getting your gear, visit crateclub.us. We also have gift options available. That's crateclub.us.
December, the first week of December, I think it's the Thursday, maybe the second week, we're doing a Crate Club Excuse me, that's the whiskey coming up. We're doing the Crate Club.
You know what's funny with the whiskey, to interrupt you, I'm sorry, but how funny is it that Jason Rao literally just brought this thing in, and it's done.
So cheers to Jason.
And thank you.
Thank Jason Rao, the guitarist from Breaking Benjamin, that was his gift to Brandon.
Yeah, it didn't last too long, but it was well-purposed.
It doesn't help when you have guys from Big Mountain Heroes coming here.
Oh, they destroy that thing. But... we're doing a EDC street fighting class with Jim West.
Oh my God.
At Emmett O'Looney's for the Crate Club members only. It's a members only 2-hour street fighting class with Jim West, who literally is like paralyzed some dude with his bare hands. That guy's like the real deal. Like, you don't, the guy's, I don't know how old the Jim is, but I would not want to fuck with this guy. Like, you, every time I see Jim, I think of Mice and Men and that guy, Lenny.
Except an intelligent man.
Yeah, no, I don't want to make the comparison, but he's just got that retard strength. And you just do not want to fuck with this guy. But Jim, if you're going to learn street fighting from Jim, like, this is the grandfather of mixed martial arts and street fighting. And Jim is a great dude, man. I just went to Jack's wedding. And
what do you think of his speech?
Jim, I thought it was cool, man. It was heartfelt. You know? It went a little long, but Jim was... He's a great guy, man. I have nothing but respect for that guy.
It was just funny because I talked about it in the last show. You know, half these people are Italian. They don't even speak English. They're like, who's this giant man giving this 30-minute speech, best man speech?
Kept trying to applaud him off the stage, too, at the wedding. And he just kept powering.
Give me that mic.
He kept powering through it.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with him. And then I think, it was Richard at my table. Someone was asking who he was. And he's like, this man has been in 300 street fights.
Yeah.
He was like, it's more than that. I think, I don't even know the number.
Crate Club, it's a Thursday. But anyway, we're going to put it out on the email list for all the Crate Club members. But badass fight class. And then we're having a whiskey sponsor and cigars. So, you know, in the age of, manhood suppression, we're going to celebrate... being a fucking man at Emmett O'Looney's in Times Square, and Jim's going to give that fight class, and it's a Crate Club exclusive event. So that's part of what we're doing with the club, is it's a community as well.
It's cool that it's at Emmett O'Looney's too, instead of a dojo, because it's like true street fighting then.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool incentive. So crateclub.us. Sean has been awesome. These stories are incredible. I mean, I've heard so much about Glenn, but it's great to hear from a guy as close to him as you. I don't, you know, based on these stories, I don't think there is anyone who's closer to him.
I'm getting us an Uber.
So we kept him pretty PG for the audience, but there's some good adventure out there.
He's told some X-rated ones on the show.
What do you mean? The Thailand, maybe?
Yeah.
Usually the one that pops up front of mind.
So Sean was awesome, founder of Bubs Naturals, bubsnaturals.com, at Bubs Naturals on Twitter and Instagram. We should put out like a coupon code for Soft Rep listeners or something, but I don't know.
It's coming. No, actually, and it's coming. We got that, and the Crate Club. We got a special offer for the Crate Club guys too.
Yep.
So cool.
So actually, if you're subscribing to the Crate Club this month, we threw an insert in there, kind of talking about the benefits of collagen, why you would use it, and why you should be using it, and then there's a little something in there to help get people to give it a whirl, and obviously. Just know that every time you're buying it, you're helping others. So it's kind of a help yourself, because you're going to see improvements in your health. And every time you do, you're helping someone else.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Sean's in pretty damn good shape. You're not some guy who comes in here like obese and talking about a supplement. Like, you could see it works.
You got a 14-year gap between you and your wife. You're going to do a couple push-ups to make sure you're keeping it fresh.
I love it, man. All right. Well, with that, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at SoftRepRadio. I'm so glad that you guys are enjoying all the content and that we're keeping it free, but please still subscribe to the website as a Team Room member, softrep.com. And at the very least, please leave us a new review on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star review. Those really help us out. We want to boost those rankings up. So awesome, guys. I think that sums it up. It's been a great show. You originally said we were doing this quickly, but I think went way over time here.
Okay.
Couple glasses of whiskey, Anyways, thanks a lot for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio, a part of Hurricane Group. The difficult done immediately, the impossible by appointment only. Shows are recorded at our studio in Chelsea, New York City. Special thanks to our producer and co-host, Ian Scotto. Follow the show on Twitter at Soft Rep Radio.